بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 12th class, 12th session, session number 12, and what we'd like to do today is quickly go through the exercises. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Quickly go through the exercises for lesson number 7 that you have for homework, and then introduce the new lesson, number 8. Go through the key, look at the vocabulary, read the dialogue, and start doing the exercises for lesson number 8. But before we do that, I just want to mention quickly that before the salat, we were discussing some points of review related to, for those who came yani during the salat, we were doing some review related to the ism ishara for feminine things which are near and far, hadhihi and tilka. We were talking about this, so this is something that was for review from lesson 5 and 6, I think. Okay, so these are things that you should be aware of that we had in the past, and we were reviewing it. And we also reviewed al-idhafa, the two parts of the idhafa construction, that is the mudhafun and the mudhafun ilay, and the rules related to that. So if you need to review that, we discussed it before the salat, please go back and look at the key during the week as a review. It's a very important matter to review. Okay. All right. Didn't have a name or anything in it? All right. Probably somebody will be asking for it. All right. So, tayyib. Before we do the exercises for lesson number 7, again, I'm saying that in lesson number 6, we have the ism ishara for feminine things which are near, hadhihi, and in lesson number 7, we have the ism ishara for feminine things which are far, tilka. Okay, in lesson 1 and 2, we had hadha and dhalika, this and that. And now we had hadhihi and tilka, also meaning this and that. This, masculine hadha, feminine hadhihi. That, masculine, dhalika, feminine tilka. So these are the words that we had before. This is just really, you know, something to remind us. In lesson number 7, we had tilka, and that was really the main thing that we had in that lesson. We read the key, which is very, very brief, and we read the dialogue. And you had for homework two exercises. We started doing those exercises last week. We just did two or three of them, but we didn't finish the first exercise. And the second exercise is a little bit lengthy. That was assigned also for homework. You should have done that for homework. And at the end of the lesson, there's the vocabulary words, and there's also a grammatical box for the ism ishara, for things which are near and things which are far, that which is masculine and that which is feminine. If you did the homework, inshallah, all of this should be fresh in your mind right now. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is go directly to the exercises for lesson number 7. The Arabic text of the book on page 39. The Arabic text of the book for lesson number 7. Ad-Darsu As-Sabi'u. Ad-Darsu As-Sabi'u. Lesson 39. Lesson 39. I mean, the page 39, I'm sorry, page 39, Safha, Tisawa Thalathun. Okay, this is the 7th lesson, Ad-Darsu As-Sabi'u. This is where we're at right now, okay? This particular dialogue uses the Asma al-Ishara, uses Hadha, uses Hadhihi, uses Dhalika, and uses Tilka. So this is basically what the dialogue is dealing with, is showing you when do you use Hadha, when do you use Hadhihi. For masculine and feminine. When you use dhalika and when you use tilka for masculine or feminine. That's basically what the dialogue is showing you. When you're referring to things that are feminine, then you should use hadhihi or use tilka. When you're referring to things that are masculine, then you should use hadha or dhalika. And we read it already, and hopefully you also reread it because that was part of the homework assignment, to reread the dialogue. Believe me, the more you read the dialogue, the better you're going to grasp the lesson. Because the dialogue is composed in a manner to demonstrate how to use the grammatical points that are taught in this lesson. to show you how to use those grammatical points. When you read the key and explains to you a rule, when you read the dialogue, that rule is applied. It's utilized in the dialogue, so you can see how you use it in a sentence. So when you read the dialogue two or three or four times, it helps you to grasp how you use hadhihi. How do you use tilka? What is the application of it? It shows you how to use it. Okay? And likewise, in the dialogue, you have the vocabulary, the new vocabulary words that are given in the vocabulary box. The new words are used in that dialogue. In addition to all the words that we had before in previous lessons, whether in the last lesson or two lessons ago or in the first lesson. So when you read the dialogue, you're also refreshing your memory on your vocabulary, as well as you're learning how to apply the grammatical rule in this lesson or rules that were in previous lessons. So reading the dialogue more than once is very important. And not only that, but the more you read the dialogue, the more you improve your reading ability, your ability to read. And that is important. From now, it's critical that you read as much as possible. The less you read, the more difficulty you're going to find later on. You're going to find difficulty. It's going to become overwhelming at some point if you don't really practice regularly, frequently, as much as possible. Okay, so again, we need to help each other. We need to help each other. During the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to try to come to the masjid for Isha prayer and sometimes for Maghrib. But, you know, if we come to the masjid and we sit in the masjid for 15 or 20 minutes or half an hour, that's helpful. Sit down and read. Okay? If there are brothers in book one, come and say, I want to read something from book one. Or I want to ask you a question about book one. Or I want you to look at my exercises. And I'll take 10, 15, 20 minutes to help you. Okay? If there are two or three brothers from the same book, then we'd go over it together. Even if we just read, if we just review the rule, if we just rehearse the vocabulary. If brother in book two, say, look, I have some issue with book two, some problem with the grammar or some exercises or something, or some of the vocabulary I couldn't understand well, or whatever it is. And then we'll try to do it. Inshallah, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be able to come for Isha. So if you don't take advantage of it then it ends. Alright? Okay, so let's turn now to the end of the dialogue. The end of the dialogue. And let's look at on page 40. On page 40. 4 with a 0. Arba'a and Sifa. Page 40. On page 40, we have the beginning of the exercises. First exercise we started, but we're going to do it again just for practice. We're going to do it again for practice. Okay, first exercise says what? Somebody tell me, what does it say? First exercise on page 40. What does it say? Iqra waqtub. Iqra waqtub. Read and write. Okay, so you should have already written it for homework and you should have also read it. And we're going to read it now in class. Okay, first one, number one. Wahid. Who wants to read? Naam. Nobody? Tayyib, Bilal. هذه مدرسة وتلك جميعة تن تنوين. Okay, one of the rules that we had in lesson 2 and 3 is related to tanween and alif lam. Especially in lesson 3 we had alif lam, at-ta'rif. The alif lam that shows that something is definite. And we said that the general rule for nouns in Arabic is very important foundation rule. Anytime a word has alif lam, means it's definite, right? It cannot take tanween. Anytime a word has tanween, it cannot take alif lam. So whenever you see a word that doesn't have alif lam, you should make it tanween. There are some special exceptions, but we didn't come to any of them, so you're not going to see that until we come to that. So every single word now, it should have alif lam or should have tanween. If you don't see alif lam, it has to be tanween. You got to read it with tanween. If you don't see anything change in the vowel, it has to be dhamma. Okay, it has to be dhamma, unless something is changing it. If nothing is changing, it's going to be dhamma. If there's no alif lam, it has to be tanween. Huh? I'm saying in general. No, I'm just saying in general. Because now we're starting to read, and I want to make sure when we read, that we apply the rules that we learned. Okay? If you see alif lam, don't put tanween on the word. If you don't see alif lam, put tanween on the word. Automatically, no vowels, it doesn't matter. It's tanween. Okay, make the vowel always dhamma, unless there's something before changing it. Unless it's in an idafa construction, it's the mudafun ilayh, has to take kasra. Or it's the object of a preposition, it's found in a preposition, has to take kasra. Otherwise it has to be dhamma. Okay, so these, if you know these rules, you should not make this mistake. Nobody should be reading alif lam and tanween together. Nobody should be leaving off alif lam and also not applying tanween. It has to be one or the other. Okay? Nobody should be reading a word with a fatha. Because we didn't come to anything with fatha yet. It has to be dhamma or kasra. And it's only going to be kasra in two cases. If it's found a preposition, or it's mudafun ilayh, second part of the idafa. Other than that, it's going to be dhamma every single time. So nobody should be reading any of these vowels wrong. It's not permissible. Tayyib, Jabi, number two. طيب ذلك حمار حمار what is a حمار a donkey وتلك بقرة بقرة what is a بقرة a cow okay so that means ذلك حمار means what that is a donkey وتلك بقرة and that is a cow ذلك and تلك both mean that right But ذَلِكَ is used for ذَلِكَ and تِلْكَ both mean that. That is things that are far. هَذَا is used for things that are far. Or near. هَذَا and هَذِهِ. ذَلِكَ is used for things that are far. Nah, masculine. For things far. This for near, this for far. Okay? Whatever things are near, if it's masculine or feminine, the things that are near, you should use one of these words. هَذَا or هَذِهِ. Things that are far, If it's masculine or feminine, you should use one of these words. ذَلِكَ or تِلْكَ for things that are far. This for things that are near. طيب. So, ذَلِكَ حِمَارٌ means that is a donkey. And تِلْكَ بَقَرَةٌ means that also, but it's feminine. That is a cow. Okay, number three, ثَلَاثَة. They both used for things far. Okay, both of them. ذَلِكَ and تِلْكَ are used for things far. Now, who had the hand up over here? Now, Hassan. أذلك مسجد what does that mean is that a masjid ذلك is that a masjid أذلك مسجد what's the answer حسن what was the word before that Okay, it doesn't say nam, it says, not in my book anyway. It says, la. La. Adhalika masjidun, is that a masjid? La. Tilka madrasatun. Okay, try to look at this word here, huh? If we can see this word here. Try to look at this word here, huh? Okay, these are two words. These are two different words. They're not the same. Okay? These are two different words. They're not the same. What's the difference between them? What's the obvious difference between them? Obvious. What's obvious that's different between these two words? There's nothing obvious, right? No, it's nothing obvious. But depending on how we put the vowels in, even though they're spelled the exact same letters, Meem, Del, Ra, Sin, Ta, Marbuta. It's the same thing. Meem, del, ra, sin, taramabuta. But depending on the vowels, it can change the meaning. The vowels can change the word. So here, we're going to put a sukun here. Okay, we're going to put a sukun here. Mad, ra, sa, tun. Madrasa means school. School, a school. Here, we're going to put a dhamma. And we're going to put a fatta. And we're going to put a shadda. Now how do you pronounce this word? Mudarrisatun. Mudarrisatun. Mudarr shadda on the ra. Mudarrisatun. Okay? This one has a shadda. This one has a sukun. This one has dhamma. This one has fatta. Vowel is different. The letters are exactly the same, but the vowels are different. Okay, you have to be careful. When you see a word with no vowels, sometimes it could be read different ways. You have to pay attention. You have to read the context of it. Okay? For example, in this sentence here, it says, is that a masjid? No, that is a madrasa. Madrasa means school. But mudarrisa means a female teacher. Mudarrisa means a female teacher. These two words are spelled exactly the same way, but the voweling is different. Now, okay, so now when you look at this, and you read this sentence, it says, is that a masjid? Could this word here possibly be mudarrisa? Could somebody point to a female teacher and say, is that a masjid? It's not possible. So you know it can't be mudarrisa. So it has to be madrasa. It can't be mudarrisa. Nobody can be pointing to a building and say, is that a masjid? And they actually, pointing to a female teacher and asking you, is that a masjid? That's impossible. Okay? So they can't be asking you, when they're pointing to a building that they think is a masjid, they can't be asking you, is that a female teacher? Okay? So that word has to be madrasa. It can't be mudarrisa. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make here is that sometimes you see a word and they look the same, but the voweling may be different. It may be just a difference in one letter, one vowel. And it's something different. So sometimes you got to look at the context of what you're reading. Otherwise, there's two ways that word could be read. But only one of them makes any sense in this sentence. So in the context, you know it can't be the other one. The other one doesn't make any sense. I'm pointing to a building. And I'm asking you, is this a masjid?
But, you know, in English, people would say, is that a teacher? As an example, like, is he a teacher? Or she, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Probably. I don't know English that well, so it sounds like it makes sense what you're saying.
I mean, that is the wrong description of that.
No.
Is he a teacher?
No. I mean, like I said, I don't want to speak about something I don't know about. It sounds like it makes sense to me what you're saying. You know, I don't have any opposition to it. I just don't know. I don't know.
But in Arabic, you would say, is she a teacher?
No, in Arabic, you can say, Adhalika Mudarris. No. You can say that. You can say that. You can say that in Arabic. I don't know about in English. In Arabic, you can say it, yes.
In the word, would they ever put the kasra under the rock as opposed to the feather?
Yeah, yeah. You can write this word, mudarrisa. You can put the kasra here.
Which is more common?
Underneath the ra instead of underneath the shadda. No, it's probably underneath the shadda is more common. But it doesn't matter. Both of them are correct and both of them are permissible. You can do it either way. It doesn't matter. But it's probably more common to see the vowel underneath the shadda. But it doesn't matter. Both of them are permissible. Both of them are correct. It's okay.
Say, how you got the school and the masjid combined together. So what would you put? The masjid is in the school? Or the school?
Depends on which one is in the other one. Maybe the masjid is inside the school. Maybe the school is inside the masjid. Maybe there's a masjid and inside of it there's a school. Maybe there's a school and inside of it is a masjid. It could be either way. It doesn't matter. Whichever one is inside the other one. That's how you put it. All right. Tayyib. Number four. Exercise number one on page 40. Number four. Who wants to read it? Number four. Naam. Ahmed. طيب هذا جمل جمل is masculine so use هذا جمل وتلك ناقة تلك ناقة ناقة is feminine has ترمبوتر right it's feminine so use the feminine اسم إشارة تلك which means that هذا is masculine اسم إشارة means this هذا is for near masculine تلك is for far feminine هذا جمل وتلك ناقة Number 5 جابر
هذه مدرسة وتلك طبيبة
Read the last word again
طبيبة
Not طبيبة
طبيبة
But no long vowel either There's no long kasra vowels, short vowel. First vowel is long, fatta alif, second vowel is short. Naam. Talibatun. 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 What's the meaning of taliba? A female student. Talibun is a student, masculine. Talibatun is a female student. Okay, we said masculine nouns can be changed to feminine, right? By adding karamabuta. So you have talibun, that means a student. But if you're talking about a female student, you got to change it to talibatun. You got to add karamabuta and put fatta on the last letter before the karamabuta, okay? So he said what? Hadihi mudarrisatun. Female teacher. Watilka talibatun. A female student. Number six. You want to try to read? Go ahead. قط قطن قطن ها قطن قاف بالكسرة فا والشدة فا والشدة قطن هذا كلب وذلك قطن. Okay, what's the meaning? What's the meaning? Huh? This is a dog and that is a cat. Okay, this and that, هذا and ذلك, both of them are masculine. But one is near and one is far. هذا for near, ذلك for far. Number seven. Now. ناقة. What is ناقة? A female what? She camel. She camel. جمل, masculine. Camel. ناقة, she camel. Feminine. Alright? طيب. سبعة. سبعة. نعم. Anybody didn't read yet? Anybody didn't read? Want to read? No, we're on number seven. The last sentence on the bottom of the page.
Ada babun.
Baitun.
Baitun. Ada baitun.
Al-mu'adhdhini. حديقة طيب هذا بيت المؤذن. That's مضاف, مضاف إليه. بيت المؤذن. That's why it takes كسرة. مضاف إليه. هذا بيت المؤذن. وتلك حديقة التاجر. حديقة that's a حرف شمسي. Don't say hadikatul, you say hadikatut. Go right into the ta. Hadikatut tajiri. That's also mudawfun, mudawfun ilay. Hadikatut tajiri. So this is the house of the muezzin, and that is the garden of the merchant. The garden of the merchant. Play. Next page. Okay, exercise number two. Atamreen athani. Atamreen athani. Exercise number two. طيب. This exercise, it says أشير. That means point with an اسم إشارة. Point with an اسم إشارة. You're pointing to something, right? Demonstrative pronoun. أشير إلى الكلمات. Point to the words الآتية. The following words بإسم إشارة. With an اسم إشارة. Demonstrative pronoun. للبعيد. اسم إشارة for things which are far. Okay, so the اسم إشارة for things which are far is either, if it's masculine, ذَلِكَ. If it's feminine, تِلْكَ. It's only going to be what? اسم إشارة for things which are far. We don't want هَذَا and هَذِهِ. It says for things which are far. So you have to use only the اسم إشارة for things which are far. If it's masculine, use ذَلِكَ. If it's feminine, use تِلْكَ. That's it. No other اسم إشارة. Okay? For things which are far. If it's masculine, if you know the word is masculine, you got to use the masculine. Masculine اسم إشارة. If you know the word is feminine, you got to use the feminine اسم إشارة for things which are far. That masculine or that feminine. Okay, they give you the second part of the sentence. You have to give them the first part of the sentence. All of these sentences here in this exercise, 20 of them, they are all what is called a nominal sentence. That is al-jumla al-ismiya, a nominal sentence. What do we mean by that? We mean a sentence that begins with a noun. Nominal sentence. Jumla ismiya. There's another type of sentence we didn't see yet. It's called a verbal sentence. Okay? A sentence that begins with a verb. Jumla al-fi'liya. Fi'l. Fi'liya means verb. Okay? So the jumla fi'liya begins with a verb, with a fi'l. And the jumla ismiya begins with a noun, with an ism. That's why it's called jumla ismiya, because it begins with an ism, a noun. Okay, all of these sentences begin with a noun. The noun is going to be ism ishara. And then the second word that they give you is going to be something about that ism ishara. You're going to say, that is a such and such. That is a such and such. If that thing is feminine, you got to use tilka. If it's masculine, you got to use dhalika. Okay. There are two words that you need to start learning. Okay, inshallah you're going to be seeing it in your book. A nominal sentence that begins with a noun, the first word of that sentence is called al-mubtada. Al-mubtada'a. Al-mubtada'u. Al-mubtada'u. Mubtada. That's the subject. The subject of the sentence. And the second part of the sentence is called Al-Khabaru. Al-Khabaru. Khabaru. Al-Khabaru, and that's the predicate. Predicate. What is the predicate? The subject is the word that you begin the sentence with that you want to talk about. And the predicate is what you want to say about it. The first part is called Al-Mubtada'u. And the second part is called Al-Khabaru. Al-Mubtada'u and Al-Khabaru. These are words, inshallah, eventually you have to learn them, okay? Inshallah, try to learn them. Mubtada'u and Khabar. Okay, in this sentence, the Mubtada, the subject, is going to be Ism Ishara. Dhalika or Tilka. And the Khabar, the predicate, is going to be the word that they gave you there. But you just need to know that there are two parts of a nominal sentence. Sentence that begins with a noun. There are two parts. The first part is al-mubtada'u, the subject, and the second part is al-khabaru, the predicate. Subject means the thing that you're talking about. The predicate means what you want to say about it. What do you want to say about it? You want to give us some information about it. That's why it's called khabar. Khabar means news or information. So what do you want to say about the mubtada? Mubtada means you bada'a, you began with it. It's what you begin with. And khabar means information or news, what you want to say about the word that you began with. So you say, that is a what? Is a house, is a dog, is a man, is a teacher, is a street, is a car, is a mountain. Whatever you want to say about it. Okay, whatever information you want to say about the thing that you're pointing to. All right. Inshallah, I'll try to leave that on the board till the end of the class. Let's get on with the exercise. Let's get on with the exercise. Tayyip, this is exercise number 2, page 41. Point to the following words. With the ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, lil ba'id, for things which are far. Either dhalika, for masculine, or tilka, for feminine. All you got to do is give us the ism ishara and the word that they have already given you. Okay, who take the first sentence? First one, Ahmed. Tilka ummun. Has a shadda on the mean. Pay attention. Ummun, huh? Tilka ummun. What's the meaning of Mother. That is a mother. Jabir, number 2. Dhalika abun. Dhalika abun. What's the meaning of ab? Father. That is a father. Number 3. Jamil. Dhalika qalamun. Jayyid. That is a pen. Number 4. Hanif. Tilka mil'aqatun. That is a?
What it is?
Yeah, what is mil'aqa?
A spoon.
Mil'aqatun. That is a spoon. He said tilka. Why? Because mil'aqa is feminine. It's clear. That's talmabuta. Taib, number 5, khamsa. Number 5. Father Sadiq. Tilka ainun. Ainun. What's the meaning of ain? an I. That is an I. He said tilka. Tilka is feminine. Is I in feminine? How do we know it's feminine? It doesn't have taravota. The parts of the body that are in pairs. Two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet. The parts of the body that are in pairs are feminine, even though it doesn't have taravota. Number six. Bilal. Thalika hajarun. That is a hajarun. What's a hajar? A rock or a stone. Number seven. Saba. Jabir. Thalika qamisun. Qamisun. What's the meaning of qamisun? A shirt. That is a shirt. Number eight. Thamaniya. Number eight. Thamaniya. Naam, Ahmed. Tilka qidrun. Qidrun. What's the meaning of qidrun? A pot. A pot. That is a pot. He said tilka. Tilka is for feminine. Pot does not have taramabuta. How do we know that it's feminine? How do we know? When you learned it, you memorized it. I never heard it before. Allahu A'lam. I mean, it could be so. Could be so. Allahu A'lam. I don't know that one. Tayyib. Number nine. Number nine. Sadiq. Tilka nafidhatun. Naam. What is nafidha? That is a window. Ashara. Number ten. Hanif. Tilka baqaratun. Baqaratun. What does it mean in baqara? That is a cow. Number 11. Jabir. Thalika mattabun. What is mattabun? A table or a desk. That is a table or a desk. Number 12. Number 12. Ahmed. Tilka naqatun. Naqa. Qa. Tilka Naqatun. What's a naqa? She camel. Naam. Number 13. Number 13. Naam. Bilal. Go ahead. Thalika muhandisun. Muhandisun. Noon has sukun. Muhandisun. Muhandisun. What if it was a female muhandis? What is a muhandis? Engineer. What if it's a female engineer? How would we say female engineer? Naam. Muhandisatun. Sa. Tun tarmabuta with fatta on the last letter before the tarmabuta. Last letter is seen, right? So if you put tarmabuta on it, you gotta put fatta on the scene. Muhandisa. Muhandisatun. Tilka muhandisatun. 14. Jabir. Thalika muadzinun. Muadz with shadda on the veil. Emphasize the shadda. Shadda means shidda. Go strong on that. Give it some force. Muadzin. مؤذنون ذلك مؤذنون. Now what's the مؤذن? The one who calls the أذان. The one who calls the أذان is the مؤذن. Yeah, you should hold it. نعم. It's not like one letter. You don't say مؤذنون مؤذنون. No, مؤذ. You have to hold it. مؤذنون. It's not مؤذي. مؤذن. With Z, like some of the foreigners say, who don't speak Arabic. They say Muazzin. Yeah. Call the Azan. It's not Azan. Azan. The. Azan. Muazzin. Naam. Number 15. This is a tricky word. Naam. Good. Tilka mumar. With shadda on the ra. Mumarribatun. Mumarribatun. Ba. Mumarribatun. Tilka mumarribatun. What is a mumarriba? A nurse. 16. 16. Hanif.
ذَلِكَ سَرِيرٌ.
ذَلِكَ سَرِيرٌ. سَرِيرٌ. What's سَرِير? A bed. نعم. What's a chair? كرسي. What's a door? بابٌ. What's a window? نافذةٌ. نعم. What's a house? بيتٌ. What's a student? طالبٌ. طالبٌ. نعم. What is a teacher? مدرسٌ. جيد. طيب. Number 17. Number 17. نعم. بلال. Okay. I'm sorry. That's good. That's all right. That's number 18. Tilka talibatun. Talibatun. That's the feminine of talibun. Okay, go back now to the one before that. Somebody take the one before that. 17. Ahmed.
Tilka
hadiqatun. Hadiqatun. What's a hadiqa? A garden or a park even. It can be a park. Yani hadiqatul hayawanat is the park where they have animals. What park is that? The zoo. Naam, the zoo. Hadiqat al-hayawanat. Hayawanat. Hayawan is the animal. Hayawanat, animals. Naam, 18, 19. Naam, Ibrahim, I'm sorry. Is Jamal masculine or feminine? So should it be tilka or? Dhalika. Jamalun. Dhalika Jamalun. Jamal is masculine. What's the feminine of Jamal? Naqa. Naqatun. She camel. 20. 20. Who wants it? Five. Tilka Battatun. With shadda on the ta. Batt. Batt. Hold it. Batt. Battatun. Battatun. What is batta? A duck. Naam. Tayyib. Al-kalimat al-jadida. This is the new words in this lesson. Al-mumarribatu. Al-mumarribatu. The nurse. Al-hadiqatu. Al-hadiqatu. The park or garden. Al-battatu. With shadda on the ta. Al Battatu means a duck. Al Mu'adz, shadda on the vowel. Mu'adzinu. Al Mu'adzinu. The one who calls the adhan for prayer. And look at this word. An Naqatu. This is not Al Naqa, it's what? An Naqatu. How do we know there's a shadda on the noon there? An Naqa. Sun letters, al-huruf al-shamsiyah, you have to double it. Instead of pronouncing the lam, you double the letter and pronounce it twice. An-naqatu. Like we say, do we say al-Rahman or ar-Rahman? Right? Naam. We don't say al-Rahim. We say ar-Rahim. We don't say wal-shamsi wal-duhaha, right? We don't say wal-shamsi, we say wal-shamsi wal-duhaha. Wal-shamsi. Naam, al-baybatu. Al-baybatu. What is al-bayba? Egg, the egg, naam. And then after that you have the ism ishara box. Asma al-isharati lil-qareeb. That's the demonstrative pronouns for things which are near. Hatha and hathihi, masculine and feminine. And the next column you have asma'u al-isharati lil-ba'id. Did I say lil-qareeb or ba'id, the first one? I don't know what I said. In any case, the first box should be Asma al-Isharati lil-Qareeb. Things which are Qareeb, near. And the second column should be Asma al-Isharati lil-Ba'id. For things which are Ba'id, far. Okay, for far, Dhalika and Tilka. Okay, that's the end of this lesson. The main thing is to distinguish between Dhalika and Tilka. For things far, which are masculine or feminine. Okay, now we're going to go directly into lesson number 8. And by the way, lesson number 7, this exercise that we just did, you're supposed to have done it for homework. So if you didn't do it, you have one mark on your chart. Naam, one bad mark. Not a star. What's the opposite of a star? Falling star? No. Fayyid. X, huh? No. Khapa. Ghalat. Fayyid. Okay, look at the English key in the back of the book for lesson number 8. Okay, it's not very long. Contains 4 points. The most important of them is the first one. I'm going to skip the first one. And I'm going to look at the second and third and fourth one. Okay, I'm going to come back to the first one because I want to emphasize it and spend some time with it. Okay, point number 2 in the English key in the back of the book on page 19 of the English key. Point number 2 says, we have seen that the normal ending of a noun is Dhamma, U. And it changes to I, Kasra, after prepositions. And after the noun, and when the noun is a possessor. For example, Al-Baytu Jamilun. Okay, nouns normally have Dhamma ending, but it changes to a Kasra. He said he had 2 cases after a preposition, like Fi, or Ila, or Min, or Ala, or when it is, when the noun is a possessor. The Mudafun Ilay. Naam, the second part of Idafa construction. Okay? That second part always takes Kasra also. So these are 2 reasons, right? So we're saying here, he's reminding us of what we already learned. That nouns normally take Dhamma. That's our original rule. But if one of these 2 things happen, it follows a preposition, or it's the second part of the Idafa construction, the Mudafun Ilay, it's going to change from Dhamma to Kasra. For one of these 2 reasons, right? Naam, for one of these 2 reasons. So we're just reviewing this point. And we already just reviewed it in before the Salah, right? Okay, so in normal sense, a noun takes Dhamma. So like you have Al-Baytu Jamilun. Both of them end with Dhamma. The first one has Alif Lam, so it has a single Dhamma. The second one doesn't have Alif Lam, so it has Tanwin, a double Dhamma, right? But both of them are Dhamma. Al-Baytu Jamilun means the house is beautiful. Next sentence, Bilalun fil bayti. Bilalun has Dhamma, right? But in this sentence, bait, unlike the first sentence, in this sentence, the word bait is followed by is following a preposition. And the preposition changes it from al-baytu to al-bayti. Alright? So we notice that the nouns change from Dhamma to Kasra if they're following a preposition. So Bilalun, where's Bilal? Fil bayti, in the house. Third sentence, هذا مفتاح البيت. هذا مفتاح البيت. Now مفتاح has Dhamma, right? Because nouns normally take Dhamma. But البيت doesn't have Dhamma because what? It's the second part of the Idafa construction. The مضاف إليه is always مجرور, takes Kasra. So this is the second thing that changed a noun from Dhamma to Kasra. So البيت in the first sentence has Dhamma. Al-Bayt in the second sentence after the preposition has Kasra. And Al-Bayt in the third sentence, that's the second part of the Idafa construction, has Kasra. Huh? In the second and third sentence has Kasra. In the second sentence because it's following a preposition. In the third sentence is because it's the second part of the Idafa construction, the Mudafun Ilayhi. This is the key of the house. The key of the house is the Idafa construction. And the second part has to take Kasra. Okay, that being said, what is the point? The point is that nouns normally take Dhamma. But there are certain things, like if it follows a preposition, or it's the second part of the Idafa construction, that change it from Dhamma to Kasra, right? That's normal nouns, right? But now we're getting ready to learn that there are some nouns that even when they follow a preposition, or even if they're the second part of a construct phrase, they don't change to Kasra. There are some nouns that don't change. The vowel doesn't change. There's special nouns where the vowel doesn't change. So now you gotta start paying attention. What? You gotta say, what? There's some words that don't change after the preposition? Yes. There are some words that don't change if they're the second part of a Idafa construction? Yes. There are some words like that. So that's what we're gonna talk about now. Okay? So, we're saying here, nouns ending in long A, fatta alif, have no endings. Yani, meaning they don't have a dhamma ending or a kasra ending because of its position in the sentence. Okay? It's not going to take a dhamma. And it's not going to change to a kasra if it's following the preposition. These words, the end with fatta alif, they're going to be fatta alif all the time. It doesn't matter if it's in the place where it should be a dhamma or if it's in the place where it should be a kasra. It's just going to stay fatta alif all the time. These are special words, okay? So now it's ending with fatta alif. Have no change of endings. They remain unchanged. For example, هذه أمريكا. Okay, هذه is the مبتدأ, the first part of the sentence that is we call the مبتدأ. And أمريكا is the خبر. And normally, أمريكا, since it's a noun, it should take ضمّة, unless something changes it, right? But these kind of words that end with fatha alif, they don't change. They just remain fatha alif all the time. So this remains هذه أمريكا. This is America. Second sentence. أنا من أمريكا. Now here, there's a preposition, من, right? But it still doesn't change. أنا من أمريكا. I am من, from America. Okay? Another example. هو رئيس أمريكا. He is the president of America. رئيس أمريكا, the president of America. That's the إضافة construction. The president of America. That's the إضافة construction. And the second part of the إضافة construction is supposed to take كسر, right? But not this type of word, like أمريكا. Okay, it ends with فتح ألف. Even if the ألف is written straight up like this, or if it's the ألف that's written down like a ya without two dots. That's also Aleph, right? Remember we learned that in book one, in the first level class. That's called Aleph Maksura. It doesn't matter if it's this Aleph written up straight, or if it's the Aleph that's written down like a ya without two dots. It's still Aleph. Fatta Aleph is going to remain Fatta Aleph. Doesn't matter if it's the second part of the Dawah construction. Doesn't matter if it's following a preposition. It's going to remain like it is. No vowel change. You have a question, brother? Well, the obvious answer to why we use هذه for أمريكا, the obvious reason is because أمريكا is feminine. Not necessarily. But for this case, we know for sure. Why do we know? Because we use هذه, and هذه is used for feminine words. If you don't know a word, and you see that that word is used with the ism ishara that's feminine, then you know that it's feminine. Some words are feminine without having what? A feminine ending. So once you know that it's feminine, then you have to address it properly. Okay, how do we know this word is feminine? Because we're using the ism ishara for feminine. Because we're using the ism ishara for feminine. Tayyib. So this, what is the point, what is this point number two? What is it really saying? It's saying that normally words have endings, vowel endings. Dhamma is the normal ending. If in certain cases the rule applies to it like a preposition, change to kasra, right? So this is what we've been learning so far, right? That words change from dhamma to kasra, depending on how it comes in the sentence. Now we're saying that there are certain words, the ending doesn't change. It ends with fatta alif and it always ends like that. It's never going to end with a dhamma. It's never going to end with a kasra. It's always going to remain like this. Doesn't matter what position it's in the sentence, it's always going to be fatha alif. So once you learn those words, just pay attention. And always keep them the way they are. Even if it's following a preposition, even if it's second part of the dhafa, doesn't matter what it is. It's always going to remain like that. Okay, so now we know some of those words are words that are ending with fatha alif. And the alif could be written straight up like a regular alif, or it could be written down like a ya without its two dots. That's called Aleph Maksura. That's also Aleph. Okay, that's one point. Point number three. There are two words here. Khalfa, which means behind, and Amama, which means in front of. Huh? These are two vocabulary words. But these two words are special words. They are from Dhuruf. They're called a Dharf. Dharf. Dharf al-Makan. Means a word that shows you the position, the place of something. It's in front of, it's behind, it's above, it's below. Huh? That means it shows you its position, its place, makan. So, dharf al-makan is a word that shows you the place of something. It's in front or it's behind in this case, or it could be above or below, underneath. What's special about these words that are called dharf, that show you position of something? That the noun that comes after it is going to always be majroor. The noun that comes after it is going to always be majroor. Genitive means it takes kasra. Okay? So, you can add that to the column of things that make a word majroor. Now we have three things that make a word take kasra. We have three things. Who can tell me all three of them? Three things that make a word change from dhamma to kasra, makes it majroor. Three things. One. Mudafun ilayhi. In the idafa construction, the second part takes kasra. Give me another one. Y'all want all three? Huruf jar. Harf jar. Preposition. The noun that comes after a preposition takes kasra. And this right here. Whatever we call this right here. Now, it's called a dharf. Dharf. Okay, you don't need to know that word now, but I'm saying it to you just so you can know. It's called a dharf. Dharf. No, this is not with them. Zarf. Zarf. Zarf shows you the position of something. Position or place. This one, these particularly are called Zarf al-Makan. Zarf al-Makan. Makan means place. Zarf al-Makan. I'm going to get rid of this one here. The garbage can. Somebody take this to me so I don't use it again. Thank you. Zarf al-Makan. Zarf al-Makan. That means what? A word that indicates the makan, the place, the position of something. Okay, like it is in front of something. Or it is behind it. These are two words that we have, in front of and behind. Okay? Other words similar to that is above and below. Fawqa and tahta. We had tahta before. We had tahta, huh? Underneath, below. That's a zarf al-makan. It indicates the place, the position of something. Where that's underneath. It's above, it's in front of, it's behind. And we said when we had tahta, we said that the noun that comes after is always an idafa with it. And it makes it take kasra. Okay, so this is another thing that makes a noun take kasra, makes it majroor. That is the dharf al-makan, like amama and khalfa. The noun after these, amama and khalfa, the noun after these have kasra ending. For example, al-baytu khalfa al-masjidi. Khalfa al-masjidi, with kasra. The house is behind the mosque. Hamidun amama al-mudarrisi. Amama al-mudarrisi. The word after amama has to take kasra. Hamid is in front of the teacher. Alright? So what are we saying here? We're saying that these two words come under a category of words that show the position or place of something. And these words are called dharf al-makan in this particular case, indicating the place of something, its position. In this case, we have in front of and behind. And before we had underneath or below. And I don't think we had above, but above is fawqa. Fawqa and tahta. Amama and khalfa. These are words that show position, and the noun that comes after them is in idafa. It takes kasra. Okay, the last point of this lesson is the word jalasa, which means he sat. Jalasa means he sat. And later on, we will see how you say she sat. You're just going to add ta to the word, ta. Okay, so if you have here, if you have, for example, he sat is jalasa. Jalasa, right? Jalasa. If you want to make a she sat, you just add ta to it. Jalasa, just put ta. Jalasat. Ta was sukoon. Okay, so jalasa means he sat. Jalasat with ta means she sat. You're not responsible for that now. I'm just mentioning it to you just so you could be aware. You might see it in another book somewhere. If you go ahead, you wonder, what is this? It looks like jalasa. But it has ta with sukoon. That means jalasat. Okay? So any other verb like that, like kataba, means he wrote. If you put ta with sukoon on it, it means she wrote. So you say kataba, he wrote, she wrote, katabat, katabat. Akala, he ate, she ate, is what? Akalat. Naam. The third person, right, when you're talking about somebody, he and she, that the form of the verb in the past tense is going to always be like that. Jalasa, kataba, akala.
I mean, when you change it to feminine.
When you change the feminine, you're going to change the same way. You're going to add ta with sukoon. Any masculine past tense verb that refers to the third person, he did something, you want to say she did something, just add ta with sukoon. All the time it's going to be like that. Huh? Yeah, kharaja, kharajat. Dakhala, dakhalat. Just like that. Alright, so we'll come to that later, but if you know now, alhamdulillah, you're ahead. Tayyib. So jalasa means he sat. Turn to the next page, page 20. It says, Aina jalasa Muhammadun. Aina means where. Jalasa, to sit, right? Who sat? Muhammad. Muhammadun. Where did Muhammad sit? Normally, the subject, the one who's doing the action of the verb, normally comes after the verb. So you say, if you want to say Muhammad sat, you say Jalasa Muhammadun. Huh? Jalasa Muhammadun. Dakhala Muhammadun. Muhammad what? Dakhala. Did we have dakhala before?
Yes.
Entered.
Enter.
We had enter and exit before. Dakhala and kharaja, no?
We had kharaja.
Okay. Anyway. Kharaja. Kharaja Muhammadun. Oh, dhahaba and kharaja. That's right. We have dhahaba and kharaja. So if you wanted to say Muhammad went, you would say dhahaba Muhammadun. Don't say Muhammadun dhahaba. You can say that even. But right now we want to put the verb first. So we say Zahaba Muhammadun. Huh? Kharaja, he went out. Kharaja Muhammadun.
And also we don't have to say the name.
Sat Jalasa Muhammadun. Huh?
Also we don't have to say the name too.
You can say Zahaba. You could say Zahaba if you know who you're talking about. Naam. If somebody said, where is Muhammad? You can say he went. You don't have to say Muhammad went, because they already know, they're asking about Muhammad, right? So you say Zahaba, he went. Naam, you don't have to say Zahaba Muhammadun. But if you want to be more specific, you say, where did Muhammad go? You can say Muhammad went. He left. He left. Zahaba Muhammad, he left. Naam. Tayyib. Aina jalasa Muhammadun? Jalasa amama al-mudarrisi. Jalasa, he sat amama in front of Al-Mudarrisi. With Kasra. Why Kasra? Because the noun that comes after Amama and Khalfa always takes Kasra. And the same thing with Tahta. Okay, you could say, Aina Jalasa Muhammadun, Jalasa Amama Al-Mudarrisi. Or Jalasa Tahta Al-Maktabi. What does that mean? Jalasa Tahta Al-Maktabi. He sat under the table. What was he doing sitting under the table? You know, you've seen that before. You must have went to them wild schools where people sit underneath the tables and sit on the chair. You remember Ibrahim calling the ding-dong school. Malish. No, nothing intended by that. But anyway, Jalasa Amam al-Mudarrisi. He sat in front of the teacher. Fayyid? Okay, so that's basically what we have here. We have a new verb. We had Zahaba and we had Kharaja. And now we have Jalasa. Okay, if you want to make it feminine, just put Ta with Sukoon on it. Okay, we have Amam and Khalfa. These are words that indicate position or place. And we also had words that end with Fatha Alif that do not change with Bamma, Kasra, and Fatha. Now.
You know what was there? Amina sat under the table. I say, Amina Jalasa sat al Maktabi.
You can. Or you can say Jalasat Aminatu. If you put the verb first, that's what we want to do for now. You can say it that way also. We want to put the verb first. Say Jalasat Aminatu Tahta Al Maktabi. You can say it. You can put the noun first. It's possible. But that is the nominal sentence, when the sentence begins with a noun. But we want to first start with the verbal sentence, where the sentence begins with a verb. That's what we want to do it for now, until we go to the nominal sentence.
So if you obviously just change the position now from noun to verb or verb to noun, just by changing the position.
If you put the verb first or the noun first,
yes,
it changes, yeah, what type of sense it is. Noun. It changes the type of sense, okay? It's a different structure. The meaning may be the same, but the structure in Arabic is different, okay? The nominal sentence has a mubtada and a khabar, subject and a predicate. But the verbal sentence has a verb, a fi'l, and a fa'il. That's different. A fi'l and a fa'il has a verb and the doer of the action of the verb. Okay, so the sentence structure is different, even though the meaning would be the same meaning. But the sentence structure is different. Okay, so we don't come to that yet, so we don't want to get on that right now. Okay, we have one more point in this key. One more point. This point, I'm going to have to erase the board. Okay, because this point requires some explanation. And I know that sometimes we get a little confused with it. So, I'm going to erase some of this, so that I can make it a little bit more clear. Okay, this is in the key. Hopefully you already read the key, because that was part of the homework assignment, to read the key for the next lesson. Alright? So if you read the key, this point should be a little bit easier for you to comprehend. Okay, what's the point? It says here, in this lesson we learn how to say this book in Arabic. We have seen that hadha kitabun means this is a book. This is a book, okay? Hadha kitabun means this is a book. Alright? We have seen that already. This is a book, this is a house, this is a door, this is a boy. We had that before, right? Now we will learn that هذا الكتاب, هذا الكتاب, هذا الكتاب, هذا الكتاب, right? Means this book. Doesn't mean this, the book, it means this book. This is not a sentence. This book is not a sentence. It's the beginning of a sentence, right? If somebody said to you, this book. So yeah, what about it? This book is mine. This book is expensive. This book is red. You got to say something else to make a sentence, right? This book is incomplete. That's not a sentence. This book. You got to say something about this book. This book is big. This book is old. This book is new. Whatever. You got to say something to make a sentence, right? In this case, this is a book. That's a complete sentence. This is a book. That's a sentence. Right? This is a book. Stop. That's a sentence. But if you say this book, that's not a sentence. So the difference here is that in this sentence, you have this, which is the mubtada, the subject. The mubtada, the subject. And you have kitabun, which is the khabar, the predicate. This is a book. This is the subject. This, what I want to say about it, is a book. Here, when you put alif lam on this word here, it's no longer the predicate any longer, because the predicate has to have tanween. And here we have alif lam. When you have alif lam on a word after ism ishara, whether it's hadha, or hadhihi, or dhalika, tilka, all those we had before, right? All those are ism ishara, for near and far, masculine and feminine. Doesn't matter. Any ism ishara that's followed by a noun with alif lam, this will not be the predicate of the sentence, the khabar. When you put alif lam on it, it connects it to this word here. It connects it to that word. Now that's one unit together. The alif lam connects it to the ism ishara. This is a special rule that is in reference to what? The ism ishara. Any ism ishara, singular, plural, masculine, feminine, near, far, doesn't matter. any ism ishara, when it's followed by a noun with alif lam, right? Alif lam, that means it becomes connected to the ism ishara. It can't be the rest of the sentence, the completion of the sentence, the predicate, the khabar. It can't be that. No, it's connected to it. It becomes a part of the mubtada, the subject. It becomes a part of the subject. So now it needs something to follow it as the khabar. What do you want to say about it? Okay, when you say, this book, what do I want to say about this book? I have to say something else. So I have to add another word. So I said, هذا الكتاب, this book, is what? Is no, جديد. It's جديدٌ. Or it could be جميلٌ. Okay? It could be كبيرٌ. Could be صغيرٌ. Okay? But here, once you have alif lam, this is no longer the khabar of the sentence that completes the sentence. Now this becomes attached to the mubtada itself, the subject. Now you only have a subject, this book. What do you want to say about it? The subject is what you want to talk about, okay? Here I had, this is. Now what do I want to say about it? A book. Here I have this book. What do I want to say about it? This book is big. It's small. It's yellow, it's red, it's big, whatever. Okay? You have to pay attention to this rule. It's an ishara followed by alif lam. Means that the alif lam connects this word to the ism ishara, and it just means this. This is how you say in Arabic, this man, this book, this lady, this teacher, this child. Okay? That's different from saying, this is a child. Now you're just saying, this child. When you say in English, this is a child, that's a complete sentence. But if you say in English, this child, that's just the mubtada now. Because that's the subject you want to talk about. This child is bad. This child is well-mannered. But you got to say something about this child. The subject is this child. Okay? What about this child? It's my son. This child is my daughter. This child is whatever. Okay? The main thing here is you have to pay attention to the alif lam when it's followed by an ism ishara. This is the only time this is going to happen. When you have an ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam. Okay? What ism ishara? Any ism ishara. Whether it's masculine, feminine, for near, for far, singular, plural, doesn't matter. Any ism ishara. When it's followed by alif lam, this rule is going to come into play. It's going to connect this word to this one, and now you need another word to complete the sentence. Question? Naam, generally speaking, that's the general rule. For now, it's going to be like that, yeah, for us. Until we get to some other complications and other things. I mean, there are other kind of stuff that we didn't look at yet, so we don't want to make it complicated. But for now, that's what you're going to be looking for. For now, in our normal, simple sentences that we're going to be seeing from now on, you're going to always see that the mubtada is definite, and the khabar is indefinite. That's how you're going to see it for now. Although, that's not an absolute rule, but that's the way we're going to see it right now. It's going to always have tanween. For now. Alaykum as-salam. Tayyip. Okay, let me see if there's something else that they have written here, okay? So they said, this is not a sentence. To make it a sentence, you must add a predicate. For example, هذا الكتاب, this book, what about it? This book is new. هذا الكتاب جديد. All demonstrative pronouns. Alaykum as-salam. All demonstrative pronouns. What's the demonstrative pronoun? Arabic ism ishara. Every ism ishara. Hada, hadi, dhalika, tilka. All demonstrative pronouns can be used to make this construction. For example, dhalika ar-rajulu. Okay, dhalika is the ism ishara. It's followed by ar-rajulu with alif lam, right? So it applies here. That man, what about that man? Muhandisun is an engineer. Huh? Look at the next one. هَذِهِ السَّاعَةُ جَمِيلَةٌ هَذِهِ is a ism ishara. السَّاعَةُ is followed by alif lam, right? So the rule is applicable. هَذِهِ السَّاعَةُ. This watch, what about this watch? Jamilatun is beautiful. Jamilatun is beautiful. Okay? Go again. Tilka. Tilka al-mumarridatu min al-yabani. Tilka is an ism ishara. Al-mumarrida has alif lam. So tilka al-mumarridatu means that nurse. What about that nurse? Min al-yabani. It's from Japan. Okay, so we had three examples here. We had ذلك, we had هذه, and we had تلك. And before that we had هذا, right? هذا الكتاب جديد. So we have هذا, and we have ذلك. And we have هذه, and we have تلك. So far all the اسم إشارة that we had so far, we gave examples for. So what's the point here? Any اسم إشارة. Doesn't matter if it's masculine or feminine. Doesn't matter if it's for things near or far. Any ism ishara when it's followed by a noun with alif lam, when it's followed by a noun with alif lam, it's going to follow this rule. Okay. Okay. Let's look at the text. Well, we really should look at the vocabulary quickly, right? I'm just going to read the vocabulary quickly in case anybody has a question about it. Okay. The first word of vocabulary from the right side, going from right to left, is on page 20. As-sikinu. Notice. As-sik has the kasra. The seen has kasra. The kaf has shadda and kasra. As-sikinu. As-sikin means the knife. Going across. Amrika. Sorry, akhi. Their sister's there. Okay, you gotta come here. Okay, Amrika, right? America. Going down, next line. Almania means, that's the name of the country, Germany. Going across, Moglaqun. Moglaqun means closed or locked. Going down, third line, Inkaltara. Actually, it should have a shadda on the ra. Inkaltara. That means England. Huh? Going across, Al-Iraq. Al-Iraq means Iraq. Naam. Going down, last line, Al-Mustashfa means the hospital. And Suisra, Switzerland. Now, what I want you to pay attention to in these words is specifically in the first column on the right side, the second word, Almania, ends with Fatta Alif. Inkaltara ends with Fatta Alif. Al-Mustashfa ends with Fatta Alif. But what kind of Alif? Alif that's written like a Ya without its two dots. That's called Alif Maksura. That's also the same rule. Whether it's written as Alif Maksura or written straight up as Alif Mamdud, it's still Fatta Alif. And also, Amrika is Fatta Alif. And also, Suisra is Fatta Alif. These words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. All of these words, we apply the rule to them of what? The rule of words that end with Fatta Aleph, the endings don't change. It doesn't take Dhamma, it doesn't take Kasra, it always remains Fatta Aleph. Tayyib? Okay, in case I forget, for homework, you have to reread the dialogue for this lesson. And you also have to start doing the exercises for lesson number 8. As far as the dialogue, inshallah, we're going to read as much of... We're going to read it right now. It's very short. It's not long. We're going to read it right now. I want you to reread it for homework, and I want you to start doing the exercises. Okay, this is the dialogue on page 42. The dialogue is on page 42 of the Arabic text of the book. Page 42. Just follow me, paying attention to ism ishara. Whenever the ism ishara is followed by alif lam, we're going to apply this rule. This man, that house, and then we're going to look for something that we're going to say about it, okay? Fayyib. Ad-darsu al-thaminu. The 8th lesson. Al-thaminu. You have to learn these numbers, okay? These are the ordinal numbers. Okay. Hada. الرجل تاجر. This man is a تاجر. What's a تاجر? Merchant. وذلك الرجل طبيب. And that man is a tabib, doctor. Okay, notice, hadha followed by a noun with alif lam, and thalika followed by a noun with alif lam means this man and that man. طيب, اسم التاجري محمود واسم الطبيب سعيد. اسم التاجري, that's مضاف مضاف إليه. اسم التاجري, the name of the merchant is محمود. واسم الطبيب and the name of the doctor, that's also مضاف مضاف إليه. That's why it's واسم الطبيب and the name of the doctor is سعيد. Third sentence, هذا البيت. What does هذا البيت mean? This house. Not this is a house or this is the house, means this house. هذا البيت للتاجري. لي means what? Belongs to. This house belongs to the merchant. وذلك البيت. And that house للطبيب. That house what? Belongs to the doctor. Okay. بيت التاجري. This is مضاف مضاف إليه. The house of the merchant. بيت التاجري. بيت التاجري أمام المسجد is in front of the masjid. وبيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. And the house of the doctor is behind the school. Okay, listen to that then. Inshallah, we'll finish after that then. We're going to take just a couple of minutes over time. Please pardon. Okay, 1, 2, 3, fourth line from the top of the dialogue says Baytut Tajiri. That's Mudawfun, Mudawfun Ilay. Baytut Tajiri Amama al Masjidi. Amama al Masjidi. The words after Amama and Khalfa are always going to be Majroor with Kasra. Baytut Tajiri Amama is in front of, the house of the merchant is in front of what? Al-Masjidi. وَبَيْتُ الطَّبِيبِ بَيْتُ الطَّبِيبِ, in the house of the tabib, the doctor, is خَلْفَ الْمَدْرَسَةِ. خَلْفَ الْمَدْرَسَةِ is behind the school. No problem. Okay, next sentence. لمن هذه السيارة. لمن. لمن means what? For whom? Whose is this? Whose is this سيارة? This سيارة. هذه is اسم إشارة. السيارة has ألف لام. اسم إشارة and ألف لام means what? This or that, such and such and so and so. This. To whom belongs this car? وَلِمَنْ تِلْكَ, and to whom belongs that one or that car, تِلْكَ. Okay, هَذِهِ is feminine and تِلْكَ is feminine, right? But one for near and one for far. The answer, هَذِهِ السَّيَّارَةُ لِلْطَبِيبِ. هَذِهِ السَّيَّارَةُ, this سيارة لِلْطَبِيبِ, belongs to the doctor. وَتِلْكَ, and that one للتاجري, belongs to the merchant. Notice that I said هذه السيارة. Because nouns always take dhamma, right? Unless something is changing it. للطبيب. Why is طبيب taking كسرة? Huh? Because لي is a preposition. We said that after a preposition a word takes كسرة, right? And the second part of the alpha phrase takes كسرة. And the word that comes after a ظرف مكان, like أمام and خلفة, takes كسرة. Alright? هذه السيارة للطبيب. وتلك للتاجري. للتاجري. نعم? And that one is for the merchant. Last sentence. هذه السيارة من الياباني. وتلك من أمريكا. What does this mean? هذه السيارة من الياباني. This car is from Japan. وَتِلْكَ مِنْ أَمْرِيكَ. And that one is from America. Notice that هَذِهِ السَّيَّارَةُ has dhamma, right? Dhamma, because we said nouns always take Dhamma unless something changes it, right? Min al-Yabani, al-Yaban takes Kasra because of what?
Preposition.
What tilka min Amrika, min is a preposition, but Amrika we didn't say min Amriki. Because if it ends with, not Alif Lam, Fatta Alif. The words that end with Fatta Alif doesn't change. Doesn't take Dhamma, doesn't take Kasra, it just remains Fatta Alif all the time. Okay? So in the case of Yaban, we said min al-Yabani. But in the case of Amrika, we didn't say min Amriki. We said min Amrika, because of Alif Lam. Amrika, Inkaltara, Britannia, Swissra, Al-Mustashfa. These are the words that end with Fatta Alif. No matter if it's Alif written up, Alif Mamduda, or Alif written down like Ya without his dots, Alif Maksura. It's the same rule. Okay, I'm going to close with this. After reading this, I just want to say, the first exercise is comprehension. You have to answer specifically from the dialogue, from the text. Don't just make up answers. You got to look back at what we read here. You have to take the answers from there. If they ask you, who is this man and who is that man, you have to tell us specifically, this man is a merchant and that man is a doctor. What is the name of the merchant? We want to know his name from this dialogue. What is the name of the doctor? From this dialogue. Where is the car of the doctor from? From this dialogue. Don't just make up answers, okay? Second exercise, read and write. It's reading and writing. Read it carefully, paying attention to the rule of Ism Ishara followed by Alif Lam. هذا الولد, ذلك الولد, هذا الرجل, ذلك الرجل, هذا الكتاب, ذلك الكتاب. Any Ism Ishara followed by now Alif Lam. That's what they want you to pay attention to here. And the rest of the rules that we had before, like pronouns like huwa and hiya, and prepositions like min and fi and ala, and all the other things that we had before. Read and write. I don't think many people are writing these exercises, but in any case, you are supposed to write it. Third exercise. Read the following example and then change the sentence. The following sentences just like it. In the example, you have a ism ishara with a noun, a predicate that has tanween. That makes a complete sentence. You have a subject and a predicate, a mubtada and a khabar. Then you have to change it to an ism ishara that's followed by the same noun, but now they want you to put alif lam on that noun. So now you have to get a new khabar, okay? Because now it's not a complete sentence anymore. So hadha kitabun is a sentence. This is a book. But hadha al-kitab is not a complete sentence. That's just a mubtada. So you have to add something to it, li Muhammadin, okay? So, they're going to give you the end of the sentence, the predicate. But they want you to change هذا طبيب to هذا الطبيب. هذه السيارة to هذه السيارة. ذلك ولد with تنوين to ذلك الولد with ألف لام. تلك ساعة with تنوين to تلك الساعة with ألف لام. That's what they want you to do. And make a complete sentence with what is on the left part of the page, going from right to left. The third exercise is read the following example and then make questions and answers like it. They give you a question and an answer as an example. لِمَنْ هَذَا الْكِتَابُ To whom belongs this book? هَذَا الْكِتَابُ لِمُحَمَّدٍ And now what they want you to do is they want you to make up a question just like that for each of these pictures. Whose pen is this? This pen belongs to Abbas. Whose key is this? This key belongs to Ali. Whose car is this? This car belongs to the Mudir, and so on to the end of it. Exercise number 5 is just for reflection, to see how words that end with Fatta Alif do not change because of the preposition Fi or Min or Ila and so on. And after that, they have a reading and writing exercise connected to it. Connected to those words that end with Fatta Alif. And the last exercise is a reading exercise, paying attention, what? To the two words that we had that show place or position, amama and khalfa. And the instructions for all of these lessons are in the key in English. And if that's not clear enough, ask me. Please, come to the Masjid Al-Fajr Isha, the Ithnillah, and ask me. Okay? And if any of the sisters get stuck on it, then we have some sisters back there, mashallah, who know this material very well, and you know who they are, call them. They know who to call, inshallah. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Next week inshallah we're going to finish this the exercises for this lesson and maybe look at the key to the next lesson number 9. But for this homework this week, read the dialogue, read the key, study the vocabulary, try to memorize as many of them, at least 2 words a day, and try to do as many of the exercises as you're able. Okay, there's a lot of exercises, at least do a few of them, 3 or 4 or 5 of them, whatever you can do. JazakAllah khair.